What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feeds it right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
What's up, Kings fans, and welcome to episode number 10 of the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the unofficial podcast of RinkRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kinville. Before we get going, we just want to let you know you can find us on Twitter at RinkRoyalty and also at Royalty_pod. We have a great show lined up today with an international flavor, if you would. But before we bring in our guests, I want to introduce our panel.
Hey, Scott. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
And up next is going to be Ryan Kelly. How you doing, Ryan?
Good afternoon, Scott. How are you doing?
Well, not too bad, brother. Not too bad. And last but not least for the Rick Royalty team today is the only Mr. Jack Weber. How are you doing, Jack?
Not too bad, Scott. Just didn't wake up too long ago, actually. But but ready for this podcast for sure.
All right. Awesome. Awesome.
Our guest has been up for hours. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, speaking of our guest, he's coming to us from about halfway around the world today, coming all the way to us from Sweden. So we're going to bring him in. He's a writer over in Sweden, and he's also been checking out the SHL quite a bit. So I'm going to introduce Mr. Sixten Sundqvist. How you doing, Sixten?
Well, thank you, Scott. Well, I've been up for quite some time. I'm talking like 13 or 14 hours now, so I'm getting a bit tired here. But
so, Sixten, just kind of right off the bat, just tell us how you kind of became a writer for the SHL and just also what it's been like this past year. I'll use the word scouting loosely because I know you're not an official scout, but, you know, covering the SHL during a pandemic.
First of all, I became a writer, well, mainly thanks to the NHL, actually. Back in, 2012 or something, I there weren't that many Swedish writers writing about the NHL, so I started my own blog, writing in English, then turned it to Swedish, and then I got in touch with the NHL.com guys, so I'm actually working for them as well now, thanks to Twitter, actually. So I'm writing on the Swedish NHL.com site, and thanks to friends here in my hometown who actually run a company associated with the SHL, I came in touch with the SHL, started writing for them. I've done some pieces for epringside.com and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm just a self-taught writer doing what he loves the most, basically.
So in terms of, covering games over the last calendar year or so, what's that kind of been like? Obviously, some of the games have been on hold, touch and go here and there, limited media available to cover that. So I guess just kind of tell us what that's been like.
It's been weird. I'm based in Linköping, which is, well, we have an SHL team here. I haven't been traveling the country at all, apart from a few excursions up north with my family, but that's mostly for family reasons, not hockey related. I'm watching most of the games through streams, working for the SHL through a company stream, you can call it. We watch up to two or three games simultaneously, covering them, which is stressful but fun. So you get to watch a lot of hockey at the same time, screen in screen, if you will. But just covering the hockey and making adjustments on the fly has been, it's been a rough go, obviously, but I'm not playing, so, and I haven't had COVID as far as I know. There are people worse off than me, but then again, adjusting to kind of get to know players and get to know, get a feel for the league, if you will, has been difficult, different and difficult, I'd say.
And I know that you have, you're a co-host on a podcast across the pond, and I'm now a subscriber thanks to discussions in the background. How did you kind of get involved with that?
Well, it's me and my Canadian friend Dave, who's also living here in Linköping. He came over to do play-by-play commentary in English for the SHL. He's no longer doing that, but he's still around. He met a girl, and well, things happened. So he's around working with the highlights for the SHL right now. And we were bored, obviously, when hockey got canceled on March 12th here after the last regular season game last year. So we went, well, there's no English-speaking SHL podcast out there, so why don't we give it a go? And we did. So we're up to like 50 episodes or so now. Yeah. So it's been great fun. We've managed to get a hold of a few players. We're trying to get North American players over on our show to kind of give their view on why they moved here in the first place and what's it been like coming over, stuff like that, cultural differences, language differences, everything. It's been great fun to get their insights as well. And we've been lucky and fortunate to get pretty good people on the show to tell their story, which is awesome.
What's it been like for you, I guess, just writing your articles in English and then translating them to Swedish? You know, for me personally, when I've looked up something, it doesn't always compute 100%. So I guess, how do you navigate the language barrier?
I don't know. In Sweden, we're taught English from third or fourth grade right now. I began in fourth grade, and I've been traveling my whole life, so English hasn't been a problem that way for me. So I'm pretty comfortable. I'm listening to all the hockey podcasts I listen to are in English. So the hockey language kind of goes by itself for me. When I do my English SHL interviews, like, we'll probably touch on a few later on. It's pretty easy to get the right language, get it right hockey language wise, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun. I mean, I proofread it quite a lot, and then I miss a lot. So someone points things out to me, and I have Dave proofread them sometimes as well. Great fun though.
Yeah. And then I guess just diving kind of right into some of the players. I know when we talked off the air, you had recently covered Helge Granz's last game or a couple of games. obviously, a second-round pick of the LA Kings in the 2020 NHL draft.
I just want to point out, I called it. All the Kings Men podcast.
You did. I remember listening to that episode with you on there, and Jesse asked you which one you would pick, and you said Helge Granz.
Yep, I stand by it. He'll be a great NHLer at some point.
So I know that Malmo has kind of they've been off. They had some issues with positive COVID tests the past couple of weeks or whatever it's been. They've now resumed play. But what's been your assessment of Helge Granz this year? And I guess perhaps compared to last year, where has he grown?
Actually, he's grown a lot in the offensive zone. He's more eager to kind of jump on the play, join the rush kind of thing, and he's more comfortable working the blue line as well, which is obviously a good thing when you want to score. But in his own zone, he's not lost. He's a good D man, but given the fact where Malmö has been, they've been struggling a lot lately, early on in the season, and they just kind of turned it around. And looking at his time on ice, I don't have it in front of me, but I noticed it's been dropping a bit, so he's been getting some sheltered minutes as of late. But I'm guessing that's the coach just wanting to make sure he's not out there for decisive moments as of seasonal decisive moments, because in a game he can pinch, he can cover the puck. You know, he's good by the boards. I'm not saying he's great by the boards, but he's good. He should work well, build some muscle, if you will.
Sure.
He needs to be more explosive in the corners, or getting the puck away from the corners if he goes there. But overall, I think he's made some great strides this season with his skating, with his puck moving ability. The transition plays better. Malmö has been kind of shelled a bit. Yesterday, they lost 6-1 to Skellefteå from up north, and they didn't look good at all. But their schedule is a mess right now. I think they've been playing 10 games in 18 days or something, so it's just insane.
Yeah, and but, I was just going to comment on his playing time. You know, he was up in, 13 minutes, but it's slowly decreasing, as you noted, to where it was around 5 minutes or 6 minutes a game. But I'm looking at his game log, and he played 19 minutes last night, and he played almost 15 minutes on Wednesday night.
Yeah, he got a bump. I just saw it. I didn't look for the game log yesterday, but I noticed that 15-minute time on ice on Wednesday. And I guess, well, did they lose to – yeah, they lost 3-0 Wednesday, and then they lost 6-1.
Both of those.
Yeah. But I don't think he's to blame, really. It's a collective effort from Malmö through and through. And I don't think we should jump the gun on saying he'll be a Norris Trophy candidate in 5 years, but we shouldn't really. This season is so weird, so I stand by that he'll be a good NHLer at some point. I think he'll adapt very quickly to the smaller ice. I'm a huge Helly Grounds fan, and I don't see anything this season that will stop me from believing he'll make the NHL cut at some point.
I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe he was the final cut for a Sweden's World Junior team. And then obviously he's been off for a little bit and then getting back into the swing of things. What do you see for his kind of offensive potential and perhaps a pro comp in the NHL for Helge Grønns?
I did make the Drew Doughty comparison on the All the Kings Men podcast, and that's maybe a huge comparison and putting pressure, unnecessary pressure on a young guy. But I mean, I won't say sky's the limit, but it's up there. I mean, he can be a prominent NHLer. Comparisons?
Sure.
Comparisons. Because if I make a star comparison, it'll put unnecessary pressure on him, but maybe a Roman Josi kind of player, not in the very same way, but maybe Roman Josi.
Okay.
I think that would be a fair assessment. Although Josi is a left-hander, isn't he?
I
think so.
I don't have it in front of me, but either way, I'll take the Norris Trophy consideration and winners for Grønns in the future.
So when Grønns was drafted, I didn't really know much about him at the time. I kind of got the impression from what I was hearing he was maybe more of like a stay-at-home defenseman. Do you think there's some offensive upside there?
For sure. I mean, Malmö has been actually starting his season, he was on his way to having his best season point-wise. And I can see him being an offensive D-man at some point, because he joins the rush quite a few times, and he likes to go on adventures, if you will, whenever it deemed necessary or whenever it's possible. But yeah, he should be two-way defenseman, I'd say. Yeah, not a solid defensive defenseman, but not a solid offensive defenseman, somewhere in between.
How do you see his game translating to the North American rink?
Well, I think his stick handling would be, like I said, he needs to build some muscle, because those heavy forwards on the forecheck, like Ryan Reeves would be the prime example, but someone else maybe. I mean, they might pose a threat, or will pose a threat for him. But if he'll build some muscles, you just look at other Swedes like William Nylander, for instance, he built some muscles, and Elias Pettersson has done so as well. They're still young guys. I mean, help Helge Grounds into a very, very good role with the Kings going forward.
That's very good news to hear.
I'm a huge fan. I really like talking to him. I really like his, his composure, his love for the game, everything. There's something there.
Great. Hey, that's great news because, we want to see him in LA as soon as possible, right?
So, I want to be in LA as soon as possible as well.
Well, I guess Sixton, just before we switch over to Tobias Bjornfoot, tell us the everyone listening and the guys here what you told me in the background about your trip to LA during 2014.
Oh yeah, I had a friend studying at Stanford, so he finished his studies in June at some point, and we made a road trip to. We ended up in San Diego, but we stayed in LA, and we actually were there when the Kings won the Cup. We were trying to get tickets for that very game, but they turned out to be quite expensive. And so I think the best offer we got was $1,400 per ticket, and that was a bit of budget destroying, if you will. Yeah. But it would have been great fun watching that Cup clinching game, even though they scored on my favorite goalie of all time, but hey,
Lundqvist.
Mm-hmm. It was good fun being there, just sharing the moment with some Kings fans in LA. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is right. At least we were closer, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
So listen, speaking of current LA Kings, I want to ask you about Tobias Bjornfoot. So is he developed so far as you expected him to? Is he maybe a little bit ahead, a little behind? What do you think?
I'm a bit puzzled, to be honest, because he was scratched a couple of times in the SHL this season with Djurgården, which baffled me, to be honest. And then he went across, and he's playing with the Kings. So I'm fairly sure Djurgården made a mistake because, let's say this. The Nazem Kadri goal, where Tobias Bjornfoot was pretty much visiting a hot dog vendor on the third level or something. That will happen because he's not that old. He hasn't played in the NHL. He was only looking at the puck and didn't look where Kadri was going. That will happen. But I'd say he's been... I've tried to watch the Kings a couple of times because thanks to time zones, it's more benefit to me. But I say I'm quite impressed. I wouldn't have thought he'd made it this far in the season at this point, to be honest. And I'm fairly sure the coaching staff are letting him make those mistakes because I wouldn't say this season is a wash for the Kings because they're doing well. But I mean, where they are right now, they can afford Bjornfoot to make a couple of mistakes and it won't affect their long-term plans, will it? So let him play. He'll grow. He's growing by the minute, I say. I really like his play, but I want to see more from him going forward.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings aren't expected to win the Cup this year. So
not really.
Right. So, I mean, if you're going to do it this year, you know?
Exactly. I mean, this is the moment where you're supposed to, where you can do the trial and error, and it won't really affect anything.
Well, the thing we really like about him, too, is, I mean, he wasn't expected to be an offensive powerhouse when he was drafted. I mean, he's drafted to be that steady stay-at-home defenseman, which every team needs to be successful, really.
That's true. I've never met or talked to Tobias, which is unfortunate given where he is right now. But I can see him fit with pretty much any D-man on the Kings right now, and that's a good thing because he can learn from the lot. And I don't know who has he been playing with the most.
Primarily Matt Roy.
Matt Roy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a mixed up situation here when we had the injuries to deal with too. But
right,
I mean,
yeah,
Drew Doughty loved him, But I mean,
yeah, exactly. Mikey
Anderson's really taking that role with Drew Doughty, so unfortunately, you can't have all of them playing together. I mean, that's kind of
no, that's true. But I mean, just being near someone.
I mean, a little part of him wants to convert to a winger, but yeah.
Well, that could be something, but you'll have other holes.
Hey, there you go.
But I mean, just being near someone like Drew Doughty is probably a great benefit to any young D-man coming into the Kings right now. So live and learn, man. Just watch and learn. Absolutely. And probably won't find a greater teacher than Drew Doughty right now.
So Sixton, right. I know on Tobias Bjornfoot. He's, as Scott noted, he's not the offensive powerhouse that, yeah, I guess he's not going to be that player, but he was named one of the top three players for Team Sweden in the World Juniors. I guess what stands out in his game to you so much that would, I guess, be worthy of that honor?
Actually, his passing game, which is, I think, when you talk about D-men, you always talk about that breakout pass, which is, of course, a huge asset to any D-man being able to turn play like that. But, I mean, just watching his passing play across the whole rink, he's very secure with his puck. His puck, I mean, movement or distributing the puck or handling the puck overall, which is, I mean, he's a very calming presence to his surroundings. He might not show it in the NHL right now, but when he's getting into his groove, I find him to be a very calm player, and I think when things slows down for him in the NHL, you'll see that coming into play as well, and you'll see he might make that long stretch pass like Erik Karlsson did a couple of years ago to, was it Ryan Dzingel or someone? Or, I mean, he can do those. He can make those passes, and it can make you make the 7-foot pass, or he can make a 27-foot pass. It doesn't really matter. He's very secure with his puck. I like it a lot.
And based on the last time that you saw him and what you've seen from him.
Oh, Jesus. Last time I saw him, I don't remember. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I guess I guess
it's not circle.
In the limited, I guess, sample size that you've seen of the Kings this year, I guess, what do you think he needs to do to still kind of take that next step?
Actually, he needs to calm down because he's overworking some plays. Like, I mean, the Kadri thing stands out, but I mean, I think he's overworking some stuff, trying to, you know, prove himself. If he just plays a bit more safe, or not making just the easy plays, but he can slow down a bit. Yeah. Don't stress. There's no stress to it. He's there. They picked him for a reason. Just, I think that's the most important thing. He's just, they're all young. They want to make the NHL be, not be sent down, I suppose, but if he calms down, finds his groove a bit, which I think he's done a bit, he'll turn into a nice demon for the Kings.
So, Sixton, the Kings made an interesting trade in the offseason with the Rangers, picking up Elias Andersson. You know, high draft pick just a few years ago, was a star for Sweden at the World Juniors. Time with the Rangers was pretty much a disaster. With the Kings to start this year, I thought he played a few good games at the start of the year. Then his game kind of fell off. Now he's in the AHL. What are your thoughts on Elias? Is there still some potential there?
Yes, I do believe there's potential in Elias Andersson. Looking at it, I mean, I'm going to make HV71 look bad in a moment. But, I mean, looking at his puck movement, his shot, his vision, he's a great player. I think he needs the right surroundings. Something happened with the Rangers. I don't know why, and honestly, it doesn't really matter. Something was off for him mentally or whatever. He wasn't in the right place. If LA and Ontario, in this case, proves to be the right place, he'll be a good, solid producer for the Kings. Maybe not top six. I'd say middle six, which is, I mean, you need that secondary scoring, and give him the chance. I think he'll turn it around. I really do. And speaking of HV71, where he played, he only played 19 games with HV71, who's been struggling, and he's still tied for fifth or sixth in goals.
Oh, boy.
So that's a rough go. And he's tied for 10th in points, wow, with 11 points. So, yeah, that says a lot about HV71 and probably a whole lot about Elias Andersson as well. I do believe he'll be in
the SHL.
Sorry,
are you trying to say they're the Buffalo Sabres of the SHL?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So we have in Sweden we have promotion and relegation. So HV71 are due to play their play out. It's called. It's new for this season, where the two bottom teams actually play a best out of seven, I believe, and the loser gets relegated.
Oh wow!
So HV71 secured their play. Sorry?
I said the NHL better not get any ideas.
Buffalo would indeed be screwed.
Yeah. the sixth and yeah, sixth and just one follow up question on Elias Anderson. His AHL coach has kind of noted that if he just kind of tightens up and just checks his defensive game, that he'll be kind of more of a complete two way player. Do you think? I guess playing on the larger rink overseas doesn't necessarily promote that style of play.
Actually, that's a good question, because whenever I talk to North Americans or foreigners coming to Sweden, what they do say, first and foremost, when I ask them to describe the SHL, is everyone's back-checking like hell. So actually, Joe Veleno of the Red Wings told me every forward is like a dog on a bone heading back home. So it's hard to kind of turn things around because everyone's skating so fast. So I don't know how to kind of weigh that compared to answer your question, but I think he might need to find the surroundings, find himself on the smaller ice, because everything comes to you much faster on the smaller ice. And that might be it. Just finding his D-man quicker or finding his guy quicker whenever wherever on the ice. And that might be a thing as well, because going one way to the bigger rink, you get a lot of time, but time is effectively taking away moving to North American rinks. And I think watching only North American hockey, you don't kind of see the huge difference. I'm not saying you guys are, but in general,
sure.
It might be tough to kind of keep that in mind. So time is essential, I think. And the Kings do have time.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that he's still only 22, because we've been hearing exactly. about it's him been, for been several around forever. Years. I know. So,
but looking at his role in the NHL, in the SHL, he was, he was top six, first line player all the time in the SHL, and he should be. So, it might also be him having trouble coping with his not maybe the he might not play those first line minutes, and it's hard when minutes are taking away. You need to produce. You want to produce as much or do as much in smaller time or less time. That might be a thing as well. So you need to kind of kill your darlings in his game a bit as well, and just be focused on what he needs to do and not playing those first line kind of things. Do it when you get first line minutes, if you do. So
yeah, that might be. And just one other thing about Elias, and we'll kind of move on to some of the 2021 Swedish draft targets. Oh, yeah. I saw a report that, you know, it wasn't long into HV71's season that Elias Anderson was suspended for a tackle, and I can't remember which team or player that he was facing, but I read a story that he had to sell his car to pay the fine.
Really?
I don't know if you have any follow-up.
Well, actually, as for the tackle itself or his suspension, he has a bit of a temper. He wants to win more than anything. And HV71 has been having a rough season. And when you keep losing, things happen. Things boil over. You saw yesterday, actually. No, the day before yesterday, an HV71 D-man just making a brutal high-sticking play. I mean, they're just completely off the charts in temper right now. And when you keep on losing, stuff like that happens. And in Elias Anderson, I mean, he threw his medal on the stands a couple of years ago, and that was a big thing. He wants to win. Nothing matters more to him than winning. And if things goes against him, yeah, he gets some temper, and tempers are flaring. Having sell his car, that sounds like a cheap car, actually. things happen. He's a young guy. Like you said, he's only 22. He's been around forever. Mm-hmm. I think that was a spur of the moment thing, to be honest.
Okay.
Fines in the NHL are more severe.
Yeah, definitely. And then kind of switching gears here towards the 2021 NHL draft. It's looking right now, if the draft were to start today, the Kings would be in kind of that 10 to 15 range in the first round. Give us like two forwards that the Kings should target. If, you know, they've had a long history of taking Swedish players. Give us two players that would be good fits for them, and just kind of a little bit of background about each.
Yeah. one of them would be William Eklund, or William Eklund, if you will. He won't be available in 10th, probably, but I still want to mention him because he is by far the most fun forward to watch in this SHL season, not counting Lucas Raymond. But William Eklund is... I'm sorry, I have to talk about him because he's such a fun player and a great guy to talk to as well. If I may promote it, I talked to William, and there's an English interview available with him on Djurgården's website. You can go check that out at deefhockey.se. It's a small piece in English where we talk about his play and his skating and the upcoming draft and anything. So do check that out if you will. But getting back to him as a player, his skating is beyond anything. And his mom was actually a professional figure skater. So she worked with him on skating from the age of 3, which is, I mean, that's where you set your basics for skating. And he's been working with her, I don't know for how long, but keep in mind he entered this season as a 17-year-old. So I'm imagining he's still talking to her about skating. But I mean, when I asked him about it, he said, the most important thing to me when it comes to skating is to keep the speed coming out of a turn. He didn't talk about entering anything or entering a corner. He wants to be as fast heading into something as he is leaving the situation, which is, I mean, that's just what you want to hear now, isn't it? As for his overall play, he's taking loads of steps forward this year, and he won't be probably won't be available top 10. It's a good draft, though. He'll go top 5, in my opinion. So if the Kings make a trade for a higher draft pick, for sure. But I have another forward for you because in that range. And I there's someone in Luleå I really like. He hasn't played a lot. I think he's played 20-something games. I'm actually going to look it up. This is bad radio. Sorry.
No,
he's played 26 SHL games in his career because he started his SHL career this season, leaving Frölunda, coming to Luleå. It's Fabian Lysell. He's a creative, innovative, if you will, right winger. Not that big a guy, 5'10", 168 pounds. So muscles will be needed. But I like he's unpredictable. He is not the fastest, but he's a good skater. His shot is actually really good. And he's on eliteprospects.com. His position is said to be right wing, but I've seen him play left wing as well, cutting in from the left, just shooting it. And that's someone probably he's actually ranked 9 looking at Elite Prospects here. I didn't even know that. So he'll be available around there. And that could be someone for the LA Kings for sure.
Awesome. Now, what about the defensive end?
Everyone keeps talking about Simon Edvinsson. I haven't watched him play at all because he's not played in the SHL that much. And when he has played, I haven't watched Frölunda apparently. But I was looking through an article written by Uffe Bodin of Hockey Sverige and also other websites, and he's very high on Simon Edvinsson. He is a big guy, 6'5", 203 pounds, so he'll probably be able to carry that body around a bit. He's actually ranked between 6 and 12 in the draft rankings, where depending on where you look, so he might be available in that around that 10th place on the draft. He's a left shot D. I'm sorry. He just turned 18 actually last month. So he also entered the season as a 17-year-old, but he hasn't played that much. He's been loaned to Västervik of our second tier league hockey Allsvenskan, where he played 14 games. He played 10 games in the SHL, and he also played 14 games with the Frölunda U20s. But he might be a guy for you over in LA for sure. I also want to mention a goalie, if you will.
Sure.
And I'm fairly sure you know I'll be talking about Jesper Wallstedt,
yeah,
who is just he's the best goalie coming out of Sweden since Henrik Lundqvist, for sure. He is something else. The guy is a teenager. Ryan. Sorry?
I said, I told you, Ryan.
Yeah, he's dead.
He is something else, man. He is the team drafting him will be happy for years to come. He'll compete with anyone.
Let me ask you a question about him real quick, because I mean, yeah, with with everything that they were talking about with Askarov in this previous draft, Spencer Knight, the draft before that, is that a valid comparison as far as what he'd be impactful?
Actually, yeah, I think so. It's hard to compare when they haven't been playing face to face or like that, right, or matching up like that. But yeah, I haven't watched Spencer Knight a lot because I'm not able to watch entire games of the AHL or wherever he's been playing. I get the NHL and I don't get that much of anything else from North America, which is a bummer. But watching Askarov, like on the World Juniors or whenever you watch him, he is probably the best goalie I've seen coming out of Europe in quite some time. And Europe has been doing quite well with goalies, especially Finland. Oh, but Jesper Wallstedt he is something else. He's so calm. He's a big guy as well. I think he's up there, 6 foot something, 6 foot four, maybe. I'm actually going to look it up. But he's so calm, and he doesn't seem to care either when you talk to him. He's so, well, I'm just doing my work and blah, blah, blah. And whenever you talk to a teenager playing pro-level hockey, a lot of guys kind of tend to drift away, if you will, and talk about future. And he's just, well, I have a game tomorrow. Can we speed things up here? He doesn't really care. I asked him about your draft, and he went, well, I don't care. I'm going to play with Luleå right now. And what's good about Luleå, with Wallstedt, is actually Luleå got one of their best goalies of all time in Joel Lassinantti. He came back from the KHL midseason, and Jesper Wallstedt has still continued to play some games. Not every game, but quite a few games. And they're pretty much doing a 1A, 1B situation there between Lassinantti and Jesper Wallstedt. And that tells you a lot, given the fact that Luleå is a powerhouse of the SHL, and they have an 18-year-old in goal who's been playing lights out, honestly. He's so good.
Yeah, I mean,
he's actually on a 908 save percentage now, but Luleå has been struggling of late, so don't read too much into that.
Well, and that's just it. It's so hard to judge a prospect on because of the team surrounding him. I mean, sometimes it's almost apples to oranges, really. You know,
for sure. And I mean, anything can happen with Elias Andersson, just to getting back to him. If he gets going and finds his groove, who knows, he might be a top three player. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, they're all magic beans, really.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we're hoping for.
But I don't know about the goalie depth of the LA Kings beyond Cal Peterson. You got
They got Lucas Parikh in the system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was thinking, like Wallstedt is almost like if for whatever reason he drops and the Kings are even drafted, say, at 15, if they're thinking like best player available mentality, maybe they go off the board and say, all right, we're going to take him. And this way we got our blue chip goalie prospect in the system anyway. He doesn't have to come over right away because you got Peterson. You know, mm-hmm. I would say let him develop in the SHL. Why not?
Yeah, and he can be a prominent SHL goalie and still move. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, because with prospects, I mean, it's all fine and good, but there's no guarantee they're all going to pan out.
No, for sure. And I mean, Henrik Lundqvist was, let me see, 22 or 23 or something when he came over.
Like that, yeah.
So, I mean, with that, Wallstedt has 4 or 5 years left here. So,
yeah.
I mean, anything can happen. For sure, the team claiming him or drafting him, sorry, Jesus. Waiver wire much?
No, you're okay. It's late over there.
It's only 7:42, man. I'm gonna tuck my kids in soon, and that will be.
And on that note, I know we only have you for a half hour so I just kind of want to end with a fun topic here. I know that you're a big fan of Swedish metal, and you noted that Ghost, the band Ghost, is from your hometown.
They are, yeah.
Have you seen them?
I've seen them 7 times or 8 times.
Seven times.
Yeah. Okay. They started off as a garage band like everyone else, but the singer actually was working with a friend of mine, and he just one day he came to my friend and said, I'm quitting. I'm going to do this thing now. And then Ghost kind of took off. So everything turned out pretty well for him. Just Ghost doing their live show now, they've changed a couple of members, or every member apart from the singer. They had a big fallout in terms of financial stuff, but so the live shows aren't as intense anymore. But my first viewing or my first concert with them was in on a festival in Gothenburg, where they played. I think they started playing at 1 a.m. or something in a small tent with like 300 people, or even if that, 250, and all dark and all smoke and all, you know, just mystical things. And he came out with his Pope kind of thing and just started waving and doing stuff. And that was, I was hooked from the get-go. It was immensely fun.
I gave you a little bit of a homework assignment when we were kind of talking offline. Did you check out that band Orbit Culture?
I haven't done it. Someone else sent another band to me, so I'm just listening through. Give me a second. But I have it on my playlist. I'll do it tomorrow probably when I'm writing. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. doing NHL Roundup. So,
yeah, and just over there, there's so much good heavy metal music. We got a lot of good music. Yeah, I said, you know, too, I'm jealous of the bands that have not only come out of Sweden, but Europe as well. Architects is my favorite band out of the UK. Yeah. But you noted Amon Amarth, Arch Enemy, some other bands, you know, that have come out of Sweden. It's just your prospect pool in terms of metal bands over there.
It's deep, outstanding. Dude. It's deep. We got a lot. And I don't know half of them, I think. Gothenburg is probably the epicenter, if you will, for Swedish metal. But we got a lot of them. My favorite band is Iron Maiden. But okay. I got my metal variety is big. So I've seen Maiden 14 or 15 times,
Holy
I think.
Holy smokes.
Once outside Sweden. Okay. So, in Vancouver, actually. I was due to see Maiden last summer, and that kind of, well, things happened. We'll see. They got it planned for July 3rd, and I don't think that'll happen either. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But if you guys are in Sweden, let's go to a concert. We'll hook you up with some cool stuff and we'll go to a metal concert. That will be great fun.
What's the farthest you've gone in Sweden for a concert?
Oh, it's not that far because Linköping is right in between Stockholm and Gothenburg. So I haven't gone that far. Gothenburg, in terms of actual distance, probably the furthest to be fair. It's in miles, Jesus, I don't know, but about 400 kilometers. So it's not that far.
What is that roughly just in time?
3 hours. Okay, 3 hours and 20 minutes or something. So yeah. Sweden is small, man. you barely leave LA in 3 hours.
Yeah, I know, right? I just kind of looked at where your hometown is on the map in terms of like some of the other major cities. And I was obviously very zoomed in and Gothenburg looks very far away.
Well, it's a bit of a tricky way to get there. Tricky roads. But yeah, Stockholm is more right on. Just a highway, 2 hours, 200 kilometers, no problem.
Outstanding. Scott, do we want to wrap up? I know.
I think we'll let Sixton get to bed here because I know he said he's got to be up at 5 in the morning. So,
yeah. And we're moving our clocks tonight, so we're losing an hour of sleep as well. So it's going to be great fun tomorrow when the Kings
win. Oh, boy.
Well, just say, listen, have plenty of coffee and get that metal going real early. Wake you up, all right?
I will, man. Thank you so much, guys, for having me. I'll be on whenever you need me. Just let me know.
Yeah,
thanks a million. We really appreciate it.
I won't make you call your shot now, but we'll have to have you back on to call the Kings' next draft pick.
Oh, yeah. Let's see how things develop when we know when they're picking, and I'll give you something. Okay. No problem.
Sounds awesome. I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's been great. I hope I didn't butcher the language too much.
No.
No, no, not at all. You're speaking better than we do.
No, come on. No alarm for you, man. You're still here.
No. It's... That alarm isn't coming until tomorrow morning. So,
yeah. 5 a.m.
Something like that. But thanks a million, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Absolutely. Hey, that was Sixten Funquist of the SHL. That was a lot of fun, guys. Hoping he comes back pretty soon. I'm very curious to see who he's going to pick for our LA Kings draft pick come the 2021 draft.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, that was outstanding just to kind of get some further information. You know, obviously we see Elias Andersson, Tobias Bjornfoot, and I haven't seen any of Helge Grans yet, but it's nice to get some additional information about him.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way he says, I think, you know, after he gets a little bit of more muscle put on him, a little bit more weight, I think it sounds like the Kings made a pretty darn good draft pick.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, what do you guys think? Is it that time?
Yeah, I think it's that time.
All right.
It's kind of weird because we usually record later at night, and it's the middle of the afternoon for us. So
I know. I'm seeing all this sunlight. I feel like I'm Dracula or something. But anyways, we're going to wrap this episode up. Once again, we want to thank Sixten Funquist for coming on all the way from Sweden. Sorry, Sweden. You know, learn how to talk again, right? But anyways, for Ryan Sykes, for Jack Weber, for Ryan Colley, I'm Scott Kimball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Go Kings, go!